Well, hello, listeners. Fancy meeting you here at this episode of the Comedy Northwest podcast. On this episode, we have Amanda Arnold and Josh Lay, both of them from Portland, both hilarious people that are just working their way up as fast as possible in the comedy scene and just fun to talk to. But I guess you'll hear that. So enjoy the episode.
She carried his blood in a necklace around her neck. I've never loved anybody that much.
That is
where I'm just like, you know, honey, I love you so much. I'm going to drain some of your blood. I'm going to put it in a little bottle around my neck because I'm not creepy. Why are your pupils so big? Do you get that question a lot?
A lot.
You look like you're on drugs. Do you take Adderall or?
Nothing.
Really?
For a while now. One of the doctors said it's a genetic predisposition for huge pupils.
Oh, okay.
I see a lot of sunlight, a lot of headaches.
Yeah. And you're so pale, too, because people with light eyes have more eye problems from the sun.
Yeah.
So, you're just like, that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, this kid's high. Let's do this. Like, you should have a card to carry. Like, if I pulled you over, if you would have been with us last night.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, where are the rest of the drugs? Like, you're on something.
Yeah. So welcome to the Comedy Northwest podcast. I'm here with Amanda Arnold and Josh Lay.
Well, hello.
And then we've got Cooper over here, who is our new producer, sound guy. He's training for this episode. So if anything sounds bad, we can all blame him.
Registered.
It's Cooper's fault.
Yeah.
All those drugs he's doing.
He's checking it up. Anyway, so I want to interview you real quick. So what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Cooper Malin. I'm from Billings, Montana.
Do you like listening to yourself like that?
No, it's so uncomfortable.
As soon as you started talking, you just like stared at the computer screen and got like wide-eyed.
It's bad.
So, yeah, student here at COCC, Central Oregon Community College, Cock on the Rock. But yeah, you want
is
to get
that what you guys call
podcast?
It?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Cock on the Rock, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you guys, it's what us, you know, crazy students call
you
it.
People.
You people. What does that mean? What is that supposed to mean?
Bend people.
Bendites.
Anyway, yeah, this will be fun. This will be the first podcast I've done where I wasn't producing it myself, so I don't have to fiddle with the dials while I do this. I'm so excited.
Hands free.
I can focus on how I don't have good jokes during podcasts. Last podcast we did, we created a new game, which we're going to have to play a little bit later.
I love games.
And I think George is going to join us whenever he gets here.
George said like four words last night. Are he's going to be on the podcast?
Oh, he is hilarious on the
can
podcast.
Can he be chatty?
He's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his company.
He discusses his views, sticks to it.
Kevin wanted to ask him, what are you thinking about? Why are you? Say something. Because
yeah.
He's thinking. You can see he's thinking.
Oh, he's probably dwelling on the set that he did.
Oh.
Like he's like replaying in slow-mo one frame at a time
the
set that he did. Oh, yeah.
Comedian suicide.
I used to do that all the time. And I have to like deep breath at the end of a show and just be like, let it go. If it was great, I will hold on to it. If it wasn't great, if it wasn't in the top 10 percentile, just let it go.
Yep, just gotta let it go.
But you learn from it.
Yep.
But yeah, you gotta let it go.
I try not to hold on to it, but sometimes you're just like, I remember the first time I did a casino gig and they were doing it was with Mike Wally Walter, and they were doing Keno announcements during my set.
Oh.
And it was all old people, and a lady yelled at me, "What's fucking Facebook?" And I panicked and did 14 minutes of my 30-minute set and got off stage.
Oh.
And I dwelled on that for like 2 weeks.
Oh.
I was just like, I'm a failure.
She said, "What's Facebook?
What's fucking Facebook?"
Well, fucking Facebook
that's
is like
a different
Facebook, but for perverts.
Yes. Do they have that?
It's called FetLife, as far as I know.
FetLife.
Yeah, this
F-E-T?
Is
FET.
Yes.
Are they a sponsor?
I'm gonna do a commercial. Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I guess they're a sponsor for this episode. No, it's I would say it's more like a MySpace thing.
Oh, I thought it was more for fetishes and.
Well, it
is.
I remember my adult space there for a minute.
Adult space.
My adult space.
See, I didn't know that one.
Well,
there was Friend Finder, Adult Friend Finder.
Oh, that's still a big one.
But I feel like that one is just advertisee. Is more about the advertising than actually hooking people up.
Well, the guy that did the Batman shootings, he was on there. They slandered his profile all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
did any of his profile mention that he really likes going to the movies?
Right? That would have been funny.
Yeah.
Love long walks on the beaches. I like going to the movies.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe like he had an adult friend finder date and she didn't show up.
I don't know. No girls came forward and was like, yeah, I met him on adult friend finder. We met at a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. And nobody came forward with that.
Okay.
But he was like into a lot of crazy stuff.
So did any of his pictures consist of that orange hair?
Yes.
Because I feel like that would really get the ladies.
Yeah. He was just crazy looking. Like when people had to look at him and been like, this guy's going to shoot somebody sometime.
Yeah.
I have a list I won't share today, but I do have a list of Portland open micers that I believe are at a potential of shooting people.
I bet you I can name everybody on that.
I have a couple on my list. I have a top two.
I would say.
You think that, what are the chances of them listening to this?
Did you guys ever hear about the open micer here in Bend that killed himself on stage?
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to know more about that. He slit his throat on stage or something?
Well, no.
He stabbed himself or something. Right?
Yeah, so he had been going to this open mic for some time, and this, I won't say where it was, but this open mic, this was, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and they just reopened their open mic like 2 years ago.
Oh, shit.
So far, so good.
Were you there?
No.
Was he having a good... One,
were you doing comedy?
I always want to know.
No.
Was he having a good set, or was it he was bombing him? Fuck this!
He was playing the piano. That was his thing, is that he was playing the piano, and his friends kind of knew that he had been like depressed and whatnot, but didn't know that it was to this extent. So he goes up on stage, plays, I don't know what song, I wish somebody had recorded this.
Right.
Because it would have been a viral thing. And then he just stands up from his keyboard and just starts stabbing himself in the chest.
And it killed him.
Yeah.
He was successful.
Yeah.
You have to really want to die to stab yourself to death.
Yeah.
Like not in the wrist.
Especially in the chest, of going through ribs and...
Yeah.
See, that's what's crazy, is that like repeatedly, like he stabbed himself repeatedly.
He had to have...
See, here's the thing, is that like once that knife like just touches your skin, like you can't go any further. Like if I step on a Lego, it doesn't pierce the skin, but I am on the ground for hours.
Holding it, rubbing it.
Yes.
And being like, I'm sorry, it hurts. I need a minute.
So I don't know how you can pierce your skin, pull it out, pierce it again, and just keep going like that.
You know what's funny is sometimes I think maybe there is supernatural stuff that goes on that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not a religious person, but maybe people do get like demonized or something, and they're like, fuck this, I gotta kill myself.
I've had my own mental emotional issues, and there are moments in which you can be so transfixed on something outside of your physical like feeling, like nerve ending sort of a deal.
I don't talk about this very often, but fuck it, I'm trying to be more like open about my past.
It's therapy.
I threatened to kill myself after my ex and I broke up. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty serious about it. I'm allergic to, like, deathly allergic to aspirin. Yeah. And it sounds like such a pussy way to kill yourself, right? But if I took like 5 aspirin, I would die. And I was like, I'm gonna take this full bottle of aspirin, I'm gonna drink a bottle of wine, fuck it. Well, he called the cops.
Yeah.
And the neighbor guy had a crush on me, and I didn't know this. But they arrested me at my house. They like put handcuffs on me and took me to the hospital, because apparently it's illegal to try to kill yourself.
Yeah.
So they take me to the hospital.
No, it's illegal to attempt to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna arrest you after you've actually killed yourself.
They roll you into court. Did you do it?
I would like to face my accuser if possible.
But they arrested me and took me to the hospital, and then like I moved out of that apartment, and then like 4 months later I got a text message from the guy that lived next door. Totally ended up dating him.
Oh.
He dated the girl that got arrested for trying to kill herself, and he was a Mensa cardholder too.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was an engineer, made like $160,000 a year. I almost moved to Kentucky with him.
Really?
And I didn't. Yeah.
I'm sorry. If he moved to Kentucky, he is not a member of Mensa.
Right. I saw his offer letter. He was doing the right thing.
Yeah. Being a Mensa member, like,
and then moving to Kentucky.
Yeah,
he was a paper engineer though, and they have a lot of paper mills there. Like, he fixes the machines that make what he referred to as tissue products. And I was like, you fix the machines that make toilet paper, right? And he's like, and paper towels. But yeah, I just always thought that was funny that this smart, intelligent, well-employed guy was like, oh, the neighbor girl tried to kill herself. I don't know what she's doing. It's been a few months. text her up. Like,
I think I know exactly where he's coming from.
Easy damaged goods.
No, like solving a Rubik's Cube sort of a deal.
Oh,
like
want to know.
Somebody that has, because I mean, everybody has emotional issues,
yeah,
and they're easily solvable. The causes and effects of that are pretty easy to determine.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody goes to a certain extent, no matter which direction reaction emotionally, then it takes more time to figure that issue out.
That's true.
So the question is, how many times did you guys sit down, you laying on a couch and him asking you questions?
Once.
Yeah.
No, I'm playing. Yeah, he didn't
Were you
actually
clothed?
Ask me that. No, I wasn't.
Nope.
That's
okay.
Where I was going with it.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't count. Right before you go down on me, he's like, so tell me about it one more. Oh, you're into this. Gross. I'm not replaying the event.
You're just staring at the ceiling and just you hear heavy breathing as soon as you're like, and then my mom, and he's just stroking himself
right.
over there.
Tell me
no.
about how
and
bad
how does
it
that
hurt.
How does that make you feel? No. How does that make you feel?
Tell me it makes you feel alone. Really, really alone.
So Josh, tell us about your emotional problems.
I got several. Dad died when I was 13. Watched him slowly die of leukemia for a year. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And what made it worse was he was in remission, and they were like, oh, yeah, your dad's going to live. Cool.
It's like seeing your car's fixed, and yeah. then you take it out, and it breaks down like 2 days later.
Ugh, that's horrible.
So
yeah.
That was fun. Then there was the burdens of being the only male child that my dad had, and like he's kind of a hero in the community that back home in East Tennessee where we're originally from. And so there was a little burden of that. Like anytime I get in trouble, it's small town, you know. Your dad wouldn't do that. Your dad wouldn't say that. Why are you doing that? You know, your dad wouldn't approve. Oh, fuck off.
I'm going to move to Portland and become a comedian. Fuck you.
That's what my dad would have done.
My dad loved comedy.
But like, I always found it hilarious that like the people who are expert on my father like never talked to him in 30 years.
Yeah.
After he moved out and joined the army, you know.
Yeah, it's always weird after the fact.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like honoring or talking about or assuming what they would have done after they die. I was just like, yeah, I'm pretty much that after I die, there's a whole lot of shit that I'm going to do that I would not do when I was alive.
Right? Well, that's the whole thing with killing yourself, because I'm one of those people who's like, what if tomorrow is the day that something really cool is going to happen? Like,
yeah.
And then I miss out on it. You can't do that.
I know.
I worked with Rich Voss at Harvey's, and his brother died like 4 days before he came to Harvey's.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how they're Jewish and they have to be buried in a real pine box.
Yeah.
And the pine box that was lacquered was like $8,000. Or something.
Wow.
But the one that wasn't finished was like $1,400.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, can I just buy it early and like put some lacquer on it myself?
Yeah, exactly.
Or how about we just take a, like, put him in the nice box and then right before you bury him, once everybody leaves, just put him in a sleeping bag and just throw him in the hole. Nobody's going to know, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Now, does it have to be pine or can it just be like pine painted?
Jews have to be buried in real pine, I guess, practicing
okay.
Jews. I don't know.
Otherwise, the demons get out.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Or in, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be buried.
Pine is a magical.
Magical
wood.
Thing.
Yeah.
All right. Smells delicious.
So kind of like a, you know, a steak through the heart or garlic or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Are you religious?
Me? No.
Oh, yeah.
I am so far from religious.
Me too.
I don't know. Like I've gotten so far away from religion that I'm almost back to the point where it like maybe God does exist.
Right.
But here's the thing is that like I'm so anti-religious that saying is there a God is just so hypothetical that it's fun that for every situation to think, well, what if there is a God?
What if there is? And I'm wrong.
Yeah. And I think I've come to the point that if God does exist, he's just a horrible, horrible person.
That's why I don't shame any religion, really, that yeah. doesn't harm other people. Because I don't want to die and get up there and they're like, oh, the Mormons yeah. were right. Well, fuck me. I guess only 400,000 of you guys are getting in, so I'm fucked anyway, right?
Like, yeah.
So I just try not to. It was funny. I was telling – so last night, for our listeners, Josh and I got pulled over on our way to the gig, and our car got searched.
Yeah.
Because they said they smelled marijuana. In the car.
Liars!
I had no marijuana
if
in the car.
If by smell marijuana, they mean saw a guy with a ponytail.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We
were totally profiled. What was funny is I asked the cop, I was like, so there's no way he could have smelled that. Like, it was in a baggie and a pill bottle in his pocket. Like, he saw a guy with a ponytail in an older car. And the cop that was standing by us, so we didn't, like, attack the other cop,
yeah.
he was like,
He didn't deny
yeah. it or affirm it. He was like, yeah. But he looked at me like, yeah, that's probably it. It was so funny. The cops were really nice, whatever, but I was nervously talking because that's what I do. Yeah. And I was like, so have you ever pulled over? I wonder how Muslim women go to like the DMV and like how they go to the bank and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they always have a burqa on. How do they go to do their shit? And he was like, well, number one, they probably don't get a chance to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And number two, if we saw their face, we'd have to kill them. And he was really quiet. God. And I was like, did he just say that? I'm so in Redmond right now. Like, this is like, yeah, I don't know. Dude, I was thinking to myself, he said, we'll have to kill him. Well, are you going to kill them? Or, like, I don't get them. It was a weird comment.
No, because again, these are demons. Yes. And if you open up their burqa, then they get out and you have to kill them immediately.
He was stroking the handle of his gun as he's saying it, by the way. He
was stroking the gun with one hand. Yeah. His other hand was down the front of his
hand. Well, it's funny how they get so used to it being on their hip that they just rest their hand on it. And you want to be like, so you're just resting your hand on a gun. Like, can you? It's just weird. They asked us like 4 times if we had medical marijuana cards. Like, it would have made the paperwork easier, I think. They were like, so do you guys have medical marijuana? Nope. The other cop, do you guys have medical marijuana? No, we don't.
Yeah.
Like, I pleaded the fifth.
See, that's the thing about Central Oregon is that they, and of course, they didn't even arrest you guys or anything like that.
No.
They just wrote you a citation for having pot.
They wrote him a citation.
Wrote him a citation. But, and see, that's the thing about Central Oregon is that Oregon knows that pot is pretty much on its way.
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, at this point, and I mean, smoking pot, every cop that I have ever talked to says that if they get called out to a crime that is intoxicant related, they 99% of the time, 99.99999% of the time, they would rather have the person be on pot than alcohol.
Right?
Yes.
You're not going to run.
In fact, pot more than any other drug. So it's – they just – yeah, I know.
And except for those people that are making hash oil now and blowing up their houses. That's a big thing.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Pot wasn't broken. You don't need to fix it.
Yeah.
You don't need to blow up your house. One of the comedian's friends, I don't remember who it was talking about how his buddy blew up his house like it was a meth lab and like had first-degree burns on all of his arms and his face.
How do you do that?
From making hash oil.
But the process of hash oil is just like water and like maybe a little bit of rubbing
alcohol. Not for dabs. For dabs, I guess it's like science.
They try to high-intense like Bunsen burner type heat going on.
See, that's the crack of pot.
Yeah.
They're just like over-processing it.
Yeah.
It's again, like pot is a natural thing.
Yeah.
Like if you make just regular hash, then yes, that's fine. But once you start adding other shit to it, then it ruins it and you're just...
It makes it weird.
Yes.
Yeah, when I do comedy at the Cannabis Cafe and they'll be like, do you want to take a dab? Because I don't really smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
But then they break out a blowtorch and I'm like, I don't do drugs there.
They need a blowtorch.
I don't, it's not 1998 anymore. I don't do that anymore.
Acetylene is not something that should be involved.
No, I don't.
I just want to smoke a little bit. Like, do we really need this?
You're more likely to get me to get high if you bring it in chocolate.
Exactly.
That's how I roll.
Like, we have somebody in our little comedy group that bakes all sorts of things. Amazing baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer baked goods to smoking or anything like that.
Yep.
The only thing I don't like is just it takes a little bit longer to eat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And by the time it kicks in, you've already forgotten that you've eaten something. So you're just like sitting there doing something and it's just fine. And then all of a sudden you try to get up and move and you're like, oh, God, it kicked in.
Well, that's what happened yesterday. Funny enough that we got pulled over is, again, I don't, you know, get high a lot. And I woke up in the morning and my roommate, he's from Czech Republic. And I think he uses some sort of weird Czech Republic voodoo in his baked goods because they're so strong.
I think he's got CIA stash weed.
And it was his girlfriend's birthday and they had a half of a birthday cake and we share a fridge. I live in a house with 5 other comics and a magician. So we have 3.
I love every time you say that.
I know.
Because I expect you to say comics, magician, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Well, it explains why we have 3 refrigerators in our house. God. We live in a big house. So we share a fridge and I'm like, oh, look, that birthday cake's been here for like 2 days. Whatever. Like, they're not going to miss a little piece of this. So I cut off like a 1-inch like slice of it and I ate it. And then I went about my business, did some other stuff, and then I came down and made some scrambled eggs. I was on the internet and I started getting like witty. Like people were walking through and I was like being funny and I was like, I feel high. Were the eggs bad? Like, but I feel good. I don't get it. And then Michael comes down and he's like, somebody was eating the cake in the fridge. And I was like, he's like, they must be high because it's really strong. And I was like, oh, that's me. That makes sense now. Like, I get why I feel weird. So, yeah, I wasn't truthful with the officer when he was like, is there any pot in here? But it was in my tum-tum in the form of red velvet cake.
Oh, red velvet cake?
Yeah, right?
Just I used to make those. I used to be a European pastry chef.
You used to be European?
A European pastry chef. It's not. I didn't say, oh, I used to be a European.
European? The bathroom is just right over there.
Where were you a pastry chef at?
Catering service in Knoxville.
I forget that you're from Tennessee often.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Welcome to civilization.
Tennessee is not Kentucky.
You do know that they built the atomic bomb in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, right? That is not
well,
all just...
Well, that's because if Tennessee exploded, that wouldn't be much of a loss.
Oh, but... do you want to know what the first... Okay, let's have a game here. What do you think the first state to have 911 service was? I was really surprised by this.
The first state to have 911 service.
Yeah, to have 911, like emergency services.
Florida.
Any other guesses?
I'm going to say Texas.
Louisiana.
Really?
Right? What was going on down there? They're like, we've already been killed by floods and fire. Yeah. We need to get some emergency services. Didn't they have a big breakout of STDs in the year 1800s too? A lot of people died from like...
That's where STDs were invented.
I think so. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's fun. Rowdy. Yeah. I went pre-Katrina. I went when I was like 24 and we stayed on Bourbon Street for 4 days.
Really?
That's way too long.
So wait, were you there during Mardi Gras?
No, we were there during football season.
Oh.
Which is like Mardi Gras.
So yeah, from what I've been told is that Mardi Gras is pretty much 24/7.
Not as intense, not as crowded, but football season's pretty crazy there. It's okay to drink and drive, but not drive drunk.
Yeah.
And they have juice bars on all the corners that have these big slushies. And I bought one and it was a little tiny one and it was like mango madness.
Yeah.
And I drank it and like I was drunk. Like I felt drunk. I'm like, that was like 8 ounces. And it had Everclear and 151 in it.
Whoa.
And I was like, don't I have to sign a disclaimer for this? Like,
yeah.
Don't you have to say, are you sure you want this one?
Did they card you or anything?
No. Nothing.
Yep. Crazy.
It was crazy down there. There was a whole group of like work people there. They all had their like work shirts on.
Yeah.
We saw them eating at lunchtime, like at one of the restaurants. And then that night, they were all like in their 40s. We saw all these women like showing their titties and shit with all these guys they work with. And I was thinking, oh, that's going to be so awkward tomorrow. Like, you're going to have to see these people.
Yeah.
We had a balcony that faced Bourbon Street. So by the end of the 4 days, because we were getting ready to go to Fort Lauderdale for 4 days and then do a day cruise to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great trip. Like it was probably one of the funner trips I've been on, but funner. But we sat up there and we got tired of seeing it. I mean, there's just so many boobs. Like you can only see so many boobs, little ones, big ones, saggy ones. So then we started trying to get guys to show us their junk, like show us your junk for beads. And totally guys were doing it. But there
really?
Was this one. Yeah. There was this one little skinny, young looking kid and his friends were like, do it.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, all shy. And then he finally did it. And that kid was packing like a solid, like 11 inches, like just the biggest piece I've ever seen, and I threw him a whole bucket of beads. Like I just showered him in beads.
Nice.
So that was Florida. That was New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was a kid.
I'm a grower, not a shower. So, like, I have to do some fluffing before I flash anyone.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Almost there.
Yeah.
That kid was like enough where we saw it on a balcony.
Yeah.
Like we were like, what is that?
You were looking straight down at it from a balcony and you could tell the depth perception that it was. Yeah.
He probably weighed like 80 pounds. Like the kid was so little. Aww. I was like, oh.
And all of it was in his underwear.
Yep, all of it. Kid didn't and probably never got to use
that
it.
That kid's got a bright future.
Right?
Yeah.
he needs to move to LA.
Yeah.
I would never want to fall down on Bourbon Street, like the actual street itself.
Oh, just oh like, yeah. So bad.
Just like,
oh,
I'm sure. Think of all the bodily fluids and vomit.
Oh, God.
Just nasty. It smells so horrible in the French Quarter. It's a smell you'll never forget.
Yeah.
It's like ass and vomit and death. Like, disgusting. It's just terrible. Like,
I
never thought about that.
The street cleaners, they must have like industrial strength, like just biochemical.
And they come through at like 6 o'clock every morning.
Oh, you'd have to.
And you can... it still doesn't help. It still just reeks.
That's disgusting.
Like, it's terrible.
Well, I would assume, like, the sewer grates are just, like, you stand over one of those, it'll just, like, take off all your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Just burn it off.
It
yeah.
It's horrible.
Don't light a match.
It was the only time I took a oyster shooter.
Yeah.
And it was this really hot guy. He came up, and it was towards the end of the night, and I was already super drunk. And he's like, let me buy you this. And he buys me the oyster shooter. And I'm standing at the bar where the waitress gets her, like, mm-hmm. drinks, where the mat is. Took that oyster shooter and puked all over her.
Nice.
Oh, damn. Out of the bar.
Nice.
They were like, you're out. And I'm like, I got kicked out of the bar in New Orleans. I'm classy.
Yeah, and see, the thing about oyster shooters, if they say it's an
African... your friend. Hey, George!
I forgot. Do you want to go grab George when he comes in? Yeah. Anyway, the thing about oyster shooters is that they say that oysters are an aphrodisiac. I think that they're – it's not so much that they're an aphrodisiac, but it's that after you eat one of those, you'll pretty much do anything.
Yes. it was
so – yeah.
It was so gross. It was like being really sick when you were a kid and you didn't know better than to not clear your sinuses through
yeah.
your throat.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like – an oyster shooter. It's just like the oyster part, right?
And it's a raw oyster with Tabasco sauce on it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, it's just like clam or mussel or anything like that. It's just a little...
I'm not a big mollusk fan. I don't
it's like
those things.
If you cut like a piece of chicken breast about the size of like a silver dollar or yeah. something and then cover it with nasty like slime.
Olive oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then swallowed it. It was yeah. gross. It does slide right down your throat, but it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And the taste doesn't go away. I was like burping it up later. It was gross.
Yeah. Okay. If you ever want to know what it's like, just the texture of it, next time you do a Jello shot, take it in your mouth, spit it back out, put it in your mouth, spit it back out, and then shoot it.
Yeah.
Ew.
Put a little fish juice on it.
About the same texture. Hey, there's George.
Well, hello, so George.
Welcome, George.
George also looks like an actor last night after your friend that I offended calling Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
George also looks like somebody that I can't put my finger on. I thought about it last night.
We've always said that he looks like a fat Hitler. Because
oh,
of his haircut,
me.
Yeah.
No, all the hair, yeah, a little bit.
He went to great clips and said, "Give me the
fat Marlon Brando."
Yes,
you're
fat,
like
fat.
You're like get it right. You have nice teeth though. Did you have braces as a child?
Fake.
Oh, they're nice.
That one's good.
Thanks. What happened to the real ones?
Receiver.
Rot.
Oh. I'm sorry I keep coughing.
That's fine. You're just disgusting.
I am. Well, I quit smoking for 21 days because I had pneumonia. And then after our cough experience and wasting time today because we didn't know what to do with ourselves after
yeah.
the cleaning ladies bullied us out of our room.
They were mean.
Yeah, they were just eyeballing us and like walking by the room and then eyeballing us. And I was like, yes, I know you want us to leave. Okay, go away.
Yeah.
We had a lady, I was telling Josh that you met Joe Fontenot.
Yeah.
He was the first headliner to take me on the road. So
oh,
he was
really?
The one that really like took me under his wing.
Yeah.
And we were at a hotel and we're, you know, laying in the beds and we're really super hungover. And we'd already called the office and said we were running a little late. We were running a lot lately.
Yeah.
And the cleaning lady was apparently not feeling it. She knocks on the door. He's like, go away. He yells at her, just being a total dick. Finally, she just comes in and she's like, you have to leave now. It's 12:30. Checkout was at 11. And he was like, get out of my room. She's like, it's not your room anymore.
Like, damn you, cleaning lady.
So we got evicted from the
film.
So that happened.
That happens. Yeah.
I've had some funny hotel stories doing comedy on the road.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another thing that I just saw the other day is that there's a website called eFucked, EFUKT.com, and it's porn bloopers.
Oh, Jesus. I will be looking at
yes.
this later.
And there's a compilation of this guy who his thing, his fetish is masturbating in hotel rooms and having cleaning ladies walk in on it.
It's a big fetish. When
yeah.
I worked at Yahoo in the porn queue,
really?
There was a lot of those.
Really?
Yeah. I worked in the adult content queue for a year at Yahoo Search Marketing.
Yeah.
So my whole job was to review adult websites.
Yeah.
And that's a big fetish. It's also a felony.
That's
actually.
The first time I've ever heard of it. I didn't know that there's like an actual...
Oh yeah, you're pretty well versed in porn as well. Yeah,
sir. Never heard of Dirty Latina Maids. That's the site.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: is that it was a compilation of all of these clips because he had set up a camera just, you know, so you could see from his nipple to his knee and then the door of the hotel room.
Oh.
So there would be there. I don't. He would have to call down to say something to have people come up because there were times in which it was like it would just be a maid walking in, or it'd be like two maids walking in, or sometimes it was like a maid and a manager walking in. And there was one clip where it was like a manager and like the concierge or something, like two guys in suits walking in with like their little hotel name tags and whatnot.
And he's just winking it.
Yeah.
So there's a story, and I can't say it. Both of these headliners, you know, and I know that you know them. And they used to work together, and I'm not going to say their names because I've heard them tell this story to a lot of people, but I don't know if it's okay to talk about on here. But I'm going to tell the story anonymously. They were at a hotel, I guess, in a very, very small town, like really small town that happened to have a prison by it.
Oh.
And the cleaning women were...
Oh, I know who this is. I know the story.
The cleaning women were inmates that were let out on for a few hours to clean rooms. That was their
what?
Job. And so the one comic's on the bed, and he's like, so you're from the prison? Like, you know, how long have you been in jail? And she was like, 11 years. I killed somebody in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, wow.
And so she's a murderer.
Yeah.
And he pulls out his dick. She starts sucking it. And then the other headliner totally bangs her. They have a threesome with a murderer.
What?
Road stories.
Holy
when we're not on air,
shit.
I'll tell you who it is.
Oh, my God. Bye. Now, I'm going to have to book these guys so that I can get them on the podcast.
Already booked them.
Oh, yeah?
You already know them. Yeah, so they totally had sex with a murderer.
Okay.
That was out on day release to clean rooms.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think murder is a strong word. That's like
it makes
accident.
The story better. It makes the
second degree. Second degree.
Secondary. It still makes the story better.
Yeah.
She's a murderer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that happened. That is so like.
But here's the question. How often does that happen to her?
Right. That's her MO.
She's what, like, getting tag teamed by guys? Or
well, just like
I heard
being
she was
in the
pretty
hotel.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard she was pretty hot. Like, she'd just been in jail like 11 years.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Keeping in shape. I stumbled upon stand-up comedy porn the other day, and I wanted to send it to somebody, but like, I don't want to just be like, hey, I watch porn. But whatever, I watch porn. And I found and it's so stereotypical. It's this girl, she goes out on stage, and she's telling all these really stupid jokes, but like, they have a huge laugh track where she's just killing.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets off stage, and the guy's like, you stole all my jokes. You're going to pay for this. And she's like, it's okay that I stole all your jokes. And then he throws her down and then, you know, makes her suck his dick.
Does it.
But yeah, but it's so stereotypical that the girl like stole the guy's jokes. And
yeah,
as a female comic, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I still watched it.
So
like
you're saying
months.
That some guy accused you of stealing his jokes and he did you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so that just, happens a lot to you is what you're saying.
Not as often as I'd like.
Maybe you should do that. Like the hottest comics out there, just like anytime you're doing a show with them, just steal their jokes and they might do you after the show. Right.
Right. And
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
Just like every time I order pizza, I hope that the pizza guy is just standing there naked. Right.
Pizza guy.
Girl.
Oh, wow.
And for the purpose of this
you
story,
heard
I'm
it
say
here
girl.
On Ben Comedy.
Yeah. Or I became a pizza guy. God damn it. I should have gone with I was a pizza guy. God damn it. Oh, well.
It's okay that you're true.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the movie Loverboy? You guys too young? Like where he was the hot college kid. And do you remember Loverboy and he worked for the pizza delivery place?
I don't
remember the guy's name, but if the old like cougar ladies ordered a pizza with extra anchovies, it meant they wanted to get addicted.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole movie's about him delivering and how he can't do it anymore. There's just too many. And he's just delivering pizzas to all these hot, like,
I suddenly
old
want to deliver pizzas.
With extra anchovies.
Extra anchovies.
That's the... Oh,
it sounds like they ripped off the plot to a John Holmes movie. No, I'd say,
all
I
of
think
them.
There was a...
You actually,
think
there was a plot to a John Holmes movie?
Yeah.
You know, here's a good question. They make a lot of porn parodies based on actual movies, but are there any actual movies based on porn?
Ooh, like Debbie Does Dallas, but she actually just goes to, like, all, like, the Targets.
Yeah.
And she's just shopping at all of the places.
Yeah.
And they call it Debbie Does Dallas, but she's just shopping the whole time.
Well,
that's awesome. That's a good idea.
Have you seen the actual Debbie Does Dallas?
I have not. And I
that is one of the few porns that actually has a plot to it that is actually
what
intriguing.
Is the plot to it?
They're trying to take the football team's going to like the state finals or something. They need to raise funds to get to Dallas or
yeah.
Basically.
So they hope they prostitute this girl out.
Well, she's
the cheerleading
a cheerleader.
Team's just doing everybody. The entire cheerleading team's just banging the entire town.
But yeah, it's about this one girl. Like she comes from some small town wherever.
So it's like Varsity Blues.
A little bit. So
except for the acting is way better.
It's based on Debbie Does Dallas.
But the acting in Debbie Does Dallas is way better than in Varsity Blues.
Oh yeah. Oh god. Yes.
Funny.
Yeah.
We actually had a conversation at the house the other day, and there was a bunch of comics there that live there and don't, about what is your price to do porn. Like, if you're trying to make it as a comic, obviously, like, you know, your reputation means a lot.
Yeah.
What is your price to do porn? Like, if somebody came up to you and said, I have $10,000, will you be in this porn movie? And is that different for women, female comics versus male comics?
Well, and here's another question, is that would you sign a contract for multiple videos?
Yeah, to be.
And how much per video would you do?
Exactly.
So, I mean, if somebody offered you $10,000 to do one long video, or what if they offered you 10 videos for $1,000 each?
Yeah.
Which one would you do?
That's hard.
Yeah.
Do I get royalties?
Well, now it is hard because we're thinking about this. But
and do I get royalties?
Like, yeah, royalties. That's another thing. And like, what kind of porn? Yeah, what is
straight
involved?
Or gay?
Yeah, exactly. How much my body do I need to shave?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that.
Do they pay for the waxing and the anal bleaching?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need anal bleaching, but.
Oh no, you have a perfect sphincter, is what you're saying.
I have a beautiful butthole.
You have a beautiful butthole. How often do you just look at your butthole in the mirror and say, sometimes, that thing is beautiful?
Sometimes down there and just check stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, you could get cancer. You don't know. Like, you gotta just feel it out.
I can't say I've ever actually seen my butthole. I don't think I've ever actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I work at a porn store. I'm a clerk at a porn store in Portland.
You've seen
and
a
we
lot
sell,
of buttholes.
We sell anal bleaching. Like, I don't know. I've never sold any, but I've always wondered, what's the deciding, what goes on that you, your lover or somebody says, you know what, I cannot date you, I cannot have sex with you, your butthole is just too dark, the meat, the taint meat is just too dark, we're going and getting you some anal bleaching right this instant.
Like, I don't,
what goes on?
Yeah, I don't mean it to be mean, but I've heard that it's a lot of like Latin girls and Asian girl. I feel racist saying that, but I guess it's
why?
Not.
Why?
The browner
understand.
You are, the blacker your butthole can be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're into butt. I don't know. I've never.
I don't get it. I was hoping somebody could shed some.
I think it just makes it look cleaner in general.
Yeah.
I think it's just a general sight.
Vagioplasty is like one of the third biggest.
It's really huge in England.
Yeah. Pretty muffies. I remember going to outdoor school, and it was the first time that I had to shower with other girls.
Yeah.
And there was this one girl, and she had like just a really ugly vagina. And I went home to my mom, and I was like, so-and-so's vagina looks like a brown paper crumpled bag. And my mom was like, I don't want to talk about this with you. Like, this isn't on my wife. No, don't. I don't have it.
I watched a documentary
about boys and penises. Yes, but
I'm not going to discuss this person's crumpled brown paper vagina to me. Like, and I was staring at it. She probably thought I was, you know, like curious, because I was just like looking at it like, why does that look like that?
I watched the Perfect Vaginas, this documentary about like women going through vaginoplasty, I guess.
Vagioplasty.
And like lady had a very thick British accent, but like the entire time in Britain, I guess a slang term for the vagina is fanny. And like during the entire time, she's talking about girls tightening their fannies and stuff like fanny this, fanny that. I'm just losing my mind laughing. Like, I'm trying to take this shit seriously.
Like, saying fanny.
Like, if you say fanny one more time, I'm gonna fuck.
We have taken your podcast to a dark realm today.
No, I like that. But here's the question: is that like if it is the third biggest plastic surgery, are there any people out there like Joan Rivers where their vagina has just been done so many times that
I'm
it looks
sure.
so fake that it looks like a Guy Fawkes mask?
Oh my god, that's so funny. That is
right?
So funny.
I just picture that, like, if I ever end up in Hollywood just doing movie star lits, that someday I'm just going to pull down this girl's panties and it's just going to be just like this perfect plastic, like two little drinking straws put together.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah. Right?
You're like, it's too perfect. I need a little. There's actually a Portland comic that was talking about how he doesn't like strippers to be super hot. He wants like some C-section scars and shit. Like, so he feels like he's paying for something.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, I've given enough hot bitches money. I've taken them out. I want some of these girls that, you know, really do have a 2-year-old eating Top Ramen at home to get some money too.
Yeah.
I want to see like some stretch marks and a fucking C-section scar.
Oh, yeah.
We took a the guy from Spokane, Joe Fontenot, and I did his friend to Mary's during the day one time. We were just showing him downtown Portland. We walk into Mary's, and this girl is sitting there with her legs spread open with this guy in between her legs. And she's like, well, my daycare center, and that's all we heard. And we both grabbed the guy. We were with this guy, Spencer. We both grabbed him by the arm and, like, walked out. We were like, nope, we're out. Like, that's all we heard.
That is horrible.
Well, my daycare center. I was like, your vagina's in his face. Like... Yeah.
God. Yeah. The one time I've ever, like, every time I go to a strip club, it's a bad experience. No, like, really? Well, not every time, but like the first two or three times, just a bad experience. First time I ever went to a strip club, well, in high school, like, guys, you know, that there's always that, like, hot girl where just like, I don't even want to do her. I just want to see her naked. Like, I would do, like, unwilling, unspeakable things to just see her naked, right? In high school, like, you'd do anything. Yeah. So this strip club was hiring for a DJ, so I go in to drop off my resume, and on stage, completely naked, is that girl.
Nice.
And this was like maybe a year after we had graduated, and yeah, there she was, right there, just completely naked. I was like, oh, okay. So apparently all I had to do in high school to see her naked was pay a $5 cover charge.
Right? That's all it was. Yeah.
So I was just like, that was my first...
Was it as good as you imagined in high school?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like...
It was like somebody took the toy out of the box and played with it first.
Yeah, exactly.
It was still cool, but...
It was just, yeah, it's already been played with and it's just sitting there right in front of you and it's
everybody's
just,
already looked at your toy.
I got what I wanted unexpectedly so quickly that it was just kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I like undressing. I should have been more specific in my 16th birthday, which I was blowing out the candles.
Right.
I should have said, I want to undress her and then see her naked.
That's awesome.
Rather than just...
Well, you should have got there earlier in the set.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Did you grow up in Bend?
I grew up in Redmond, lived in Bend. Central Oregon is pretty much where I'm from.
Okay.
And then my second experience was, oh crap, I can't even remember at this point. And again, another girl from high school that I saw naked.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Okay, so the second one, I got a lap dance. My first lap dance. I had a roommate. We went there because her and her friends had this event thing going on. I was like, okay, I don't have to pay cover charge. I'll go. And she's bisexual, so she was really into me and the strippers at the same time. So she's trying to get me all hot and bothered and drunk, and she's like, I'm gonna buy you a lap dance. I was like, okay. So the stripper only $20, which is the basic lap dance here, let my roommate join the lap dance and just kind of watch. So but here's the thing is that she's like, oh, well, you know, full $20, I got to give you the full two songs or whatever. And we sit down and she's like, well, let's wait for this song to get over with. Strippers with time on their hands is
right?
A bad idea.
Right?
She instantly starts talking about her kids.
Yep.
And at that point, I'm just like, no, I think I'm done.
For my cousin's boyfriend's 30th birthday, they ordered one of the strippers to come to your house.
Oh, yeah.
And so she shows up and she's cute. She's kind of a curvy girl. James is so drunk by the time it's time for him to get his lap dance that he passes out during the lap dance.
Oh,
passes out cold. Done.
Yeah.
So she ends up, like, you would think she would just be like, okay, you can leave. My cousin, who's crazy when she's drunk, yeah, stay, hang out. Just, you got to keep all your cute clothes on, though, if you're going to hang out. Be eye candy. Hang out.
Yeah.
But she sits next to me and tells me about how both of her parents were methamphetamine addicts, how she had her first kid when she was 13.
Yeah.
And I was just like drunk and trying to have fun. And I was like, none of this makes me want to tip you. Like, yeah. It just makes me want you to go away.
There needs to be a basic script that every stripper says when it comes to, like,
you're working
stuff.
Your way through school.
Yeah.
Like, make me think that you want to be here and not that your dad probably did stuff with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like here is all you need to say. Okay, strippers. Strippers, if they're listening right now, here's all you need to say ever when you are on the clock. My name is Candy or Velvet or Jaguar or whatever name it is. Insert your weird name here. I am 22 years old. I grew up in whatever county is outside, just outside the county that you're in. Yes. I am currently putting myself through college to be a dental hygienist, nursing assistant.
I had a great father figure.
Yes.
I do this because I'm comfortable with my body.
Yes, I do this because I want to feel sexy.
There you go.
Right? And then at that point, that's the only conversation, like regular conversation, that's all you have to do.
And that's
in order
it.
To
I
get
don't want
guy.
To talk anymore.
Exactly. A guy will throw money at you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want him to throw money, more money at you, then say things like,
I love short guys with pot bellies and glasses. They're
yeah, exactly.
cute. Oh, you're a chemical engineer. It's so fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I
really love it when guys just stare at my vagina very closely. That really turns me on.
I love that you're so fat that I can hear you breathing on my vagina.
Yes. Like, it makes me so wet when you stroke your neck chin stubble.
Hands on the table. Hands on the table. Yeah. No, that would be a weird
I think minimum
job.
Wage is sexy.
Right. Yeah.
I went to a strip club one time, and we were at the beach, and the girl like swung around and she hit her toe on the pole and busted her whole toenail off. Starts squirting blood everywhere.
God, that's bad.
So they get her off the stage and they come out, they clean up the floor and the pole. 2-3 dancers go by, and then here she comes again with a big old bandage on her toe. They didn't send her home. Like, God. They figured it was just a toe. It'll be fine. And she
it's
danced.
A toenail. It grows back.
Right? Ed had to hurt. I mean, it was her whole toenail that was gone.
God, that's... Well, walking it off.
That strip club was probably as big as this room. Like, it was, like, tiny, sad. Like, God. Sad. Like, you know that some of your relatives are probably in there.
Yeah. Yeah, when your biggest tipper is your dad, that's not good.
I used to have a joke that I don't tell anymore about how we did go to a strip club one time, and my friend's like, I don't like strip clubs, I don't like the way they smell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, it's okay, I'm your stepdad in Top Ramen. Like, that's what it smells like.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's mean. But yeah, I also went to a strip club one time, and the girl that came to stage, her name was Pride. Ugh. And I was like, that, you can't.
Liar.
It's not okay.
Well, that's why strippers also take the name Jaguar and Lexus. It's because it's things that they don't have.
Yeah, there's that old school comic that says strippers shouldn't be named after things they can't afford. They should be named after things they need, like braces and education.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Rehab.
Yeah. I think the strippers could make even more money if they changed their names to like businesses.
Oh yeah, like Walmart.
Ladies and gentlemen, next up on stage, Brad's Auto Parts. Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, you like that?
That is really, really a good idea. She'll be having radiators 25% off on stage for you today.
Yeah, exactly.
And she like shoots out coupons.
Exactly. Right?
That would be awesome. I used to have a lot of stripper jokes that I don't tell anymore since I'm a little bit of a cleaner comic.
It hasn't got to that point. I mean, in the sports world, they've named everything.
Like, oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Mile High Stadium at Quest Field or
something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least have you the sponsor on their clothes when they start.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, that's right. I do need some spark plugs. Like, fuck. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Exactly.
That's the way to bring it.
The advertisements would be really, really small on the strippers, but you know, they would,
But whatever. They're still there. Yeah, the guys are really close.
Yeah. Or like, just give them the NASCAR fire suits.
That's what they could strip out of. They could strip for 5 songs instead of 2.
Right?
Yeah.
They were going to take away the dollar bill there for a while and replace it just with Sacagaweas. And I used to think about, well, what are strippers going to do? You know, like, are they going to have to create little pouches? Like, what are they going to have? Like the little coin things like that they carnies have?
And like then, the gas station.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I thought about like all the strippers that pick up the dollar bills with their vaginas.
Yeah.
And this is such an old bit. And I was thinking, you know, if they could pick up a stack of 5 Sacagaweas and just
time.
Spit them out at me like a jackpot at Reno, like I would give her a 5 to do that. Like if I had a friend that could do that, I would make her do it at barbecues. I'd be like, all right, everybody come in the bedroom. I got to show you something. Like I have this new friend and she has a trick. Like that's it.
That would be a great finisher for a stripper.
Yeah.
Like if the way they went to the coins.
That's what I'm saying.
Like she takes her hand like this and like jiggles her boobs and goes, whoosh, ding, ding. And then just coins just fall out of her vagina.
It'd be...
Yeah, that'd be the best thing ever. Yeah.
Or she could play quarters.
Yeah.
Right? She can get it right in your shot glass. Dink, 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 dink.
That would be awesome. Yeah, if you could bounce it into her belly button or something like that.
I just want to be entertained. Like, I watched they have a world championship stripper contest now. The chick that won it, I watched it on the internet. Dude, it wasn't even like, it was hot because she's hot, but it was more like, Jesus Christ, it was like gymnastics on a pole.
Oh, yeah,
like, she went up, she had her body at complete, like, straight out with her arms straight out. I'm trying to do this for radio. And pulled herself up like a flag. Weird. Like, it was insane.
That's pretty crazy.
I was like, you probably weigh like 80 pounds to do that, right? Like,
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I've seen a stripper that was like some sort of like Asian circus gymnast.
That's cool as shit when you get those.
Like, yeah, she starts to like she's just kind of being sexy, like, hasn't taken any clothes off yet, and she just grabs the pole and like swings, does that one little swing around on one toe, you know, and just kind of goes around. And all of a sudden, her other hand comes up to the bar and she just climbs it like a monkey. And she just
so cool.
She hits the ceiling and then just grabs on with her legs, like her knee is like an inch away from the ceiling, and she just leans back. And then she like touches one of the other bars on the outside and just spins. So she just spins around this pole with like one leg wrapped around it. And
that's
then
what I
want
to get my dollars to.
And then she like grabs it behind her and like flips over to like land. Oh my God.
It's just really fun to watch.
I was too concerned for her safety to be turned on.
Oh, okay.
Honestly. So it was like I was just too amazed. Like I was thinking about the training and the time that it would take into like doing that as opposed to the time and training into being
how she could be in Cirque du Soleil, but no, she's that like
those exactly. Kind of strippers I don't mind. It's the ones that are lazy that just sit there like, oh, I'm naked, give me money.
Well, like, yes. Like the story I told you guys, we went to karaoke last night, we were drinking, and I was talking about that stripper. The kid comes up and pushes me up to the bar. He's like, show her your boobs so she'll come up, because the strippers love girls.
Yeah.
And he throws like 50 ones on me, and then she's sauntering up and like she loses her earring and doesn't even crawl around looking for it and spends the whole song just looking for her earring, and then comes over and starts picking the ones up off me, which didn't work for him at all. And I started grabbing the ones like off my lap and stuff and like sticking them in my hoodie pockets.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed the kid's hand and I stuck it in my bra and was like, this is what real titties feel like. And because he was sad looking, he was like, I just gave her like $50. Aww. And then they were like, that's it, you're out of here.
Like, aww. 86 like, from a strip club.
Yeah, I yelled bigger titties earlier in the night.
Bigger titties?
Bigger titties. I was really drunk. I don't mind strip clubs. I'm not an insecure girl. Women are beautiful.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of a strip club once because this stripper was, you know, dancing around as at the rack, and is one of those racks that has like the little table or whatever around it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with my drink. I had a gin and tonic. Sitting there with a couple friends, and like she's kicking the side of the table thing. She kicks over my drink. I'm like, you're going to replace that, right? She's just like, ha ha. And the song gets over. I see her go up to the bar. I see her go back to the next stage. I'm like, all right, where's my drink? You know? I'm not buying you a drink. I'm like, you kicked it over. That was a full drink. You're buying me another drink. So now I'm in the middle of the strip club arguing with this stripper. The bouncer comes over. He's like, what's the problem? He's like, has me by my throat, you know. I'm like, she kicked over my drink. I'm just asking her to buy me another one. He goes, oh, we have problems with her all the time. Drops me, grabs her by the ear, and her to the bartender. And like, he's like, what'd you have? I go, it was a gin and tonic. Fucking makes her pull out one of her ones.
Nice.
Fucking buy it.
Putting those strippers in their place.
They let me have my drink, and then they asked me to leave because she started like, raising hell. And he's like, dude, you gotta go. Man, that's bullshit. She kicked over my drink. I'm just asking, you know. Restitution. Yeah. That's all I want.
Do you know
I'm
what I'm
trying to fight this?
When I drive through Bend, what I think about is the pretty pussycat.
Yeah.
Because it's big and ugly and purple, and like it's the first thing you notice. But we went to buy nitrous there one morning. I used to come to Bend for a week every January for like about 5 years.
Yeah.
And we would come and get a really nice hotel room for like 2 days and then a shitty one for three and snowboard the whole time. And we needed nitrous at 9 a.m. And so we go to the Pretty Pussycat. We're in the parking lot and this big, like, I don't want to offend any of your listeners, but a big retarded guy on a big pink tricycle dressed in all pink just goes through the parking lot ringing a bell, ding, ding, ding. And my ex looks at me. He's like, that's real, right? And I was like, yeah.
By the way, I'm very offended that you're calling me retarded.
Retarded? Special needs? He had really special needs.
Yeah.
He probably weighed 300 pounds.
Aww.
And he was dressed in all pink on a huge pink tricycle with a bell.
Oh, my God.
Bing, bing, going through the parking lot of the Pretty Pussy Cat, whatever that place is called.
Yeah.
We still went in and bought nitrous.
Oh, yeah, of course you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me a nitrous story.
We went to Fish, the band Fish, and we stayed, we camped there, and we went to the show, and we came back to our tent, and we did three boxes of nitrous, so that's...
Holy crap.
Like, you know...
Yeah.
Were they 50 counts or 24?
24. And the thing is, when you camp out at Fish, after Fish is done playing, there's all these, like, little wannabe bands that are camping out, too, playing all over the campground. So after you've done a tremendous amount of nitrous, the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah stays with you.
Yeah.
And there was this horrible, like, reggae techno band next to us, and the bass player was, like, five beats behind the rest of the band, and it was killing me. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, I'm not even a musician. I get music, but this is really bad. My ex looks over, who's a magician, and he's like, it's five beats off. And I was like, fuck yeah, it is. So we just went out there and, like, stared at him. We probably looked crazy. And I found a $50 bill, and we went out there, and we just went to bed.
Nice.
My friend also, when we were 15, might have been younger, 14, first time I ever did nitrous, we called it hippie crack back then. Our friend did two cartridges in one balloon and then kind of passed out for a second. And my friend, who came from a good family, she was like, I have to go home now. And she left, and we didn't see her for, like, 6 months. She was like, I thought she was going to die, and you guys do drugs. I started doing drugs pretty ugly. I mean, pretty early, but I don't do them now.
One of my first times I started working at the porn store, it was like 3 a.m. This guy buys a box of Whippets, goes into the back arcade, and, like, all I hear is, and then occasionally the little ting, ting, ting. Ding, ding, ding. And I'm supposed to, like, not allow that. You're not supposed to, like, be doing Whippets in the arcade.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, it was just so hilarious to me that I just let him go through the whole box, man. And just, ding, ding, ding.
That's 24 so funny.
Times. I'm just, like, sitting here. The 24th one was just as funny to me as the first one.
I remember going to a party one time and having – that's when cargo pants were in – and having nitrous cartridges in both pockets, and some my ride had left me. And I was not too far from home, but I remember walking home and the sun coming up, and I could hear the nitrous cartridges tink, tink, tink. And I was like, I'm doing shit wrong probably.
This is not where my life should be right now.
So I walked to the school by my house and finished all the nitrous cartridges on top of the slide at, like, 6 in the morning. And it wasn't that bad of a morning. Like, that's how you make a comic.
Pretty much.
Speaking of dark places, this one mentioned something early that intrigued me. So you were you were in a mental institution?
Very briefly. Only a weekend.
Only a weekend? How was it?
He just needed to go away from the kids for a while.
Oh, how old are you?
29.
Okay. How old were you at the time?
24, 25.
Dude, are you comfortable talking about this?
Sure.
What happened?
Let me try and
remember. Girls, man.
Yeah.
That's girls.
Bitches that's be crazy.
Yeah, bitches be crazy.
Somebody left and you weren't ready.
I guess. But it was more like suicide attempt.
So yeah, she was crazy before he was. So I feel like it was contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. Codependent.
A big red flag is when you jokingly say to someone, oh, you're crazy, and they just get deadpan and go,
yeah,
you really think I'm crazy?
Offensive, yeah.
Do you think I'm crazy?
that's not even Jesus something Christ. Easy to...
No, there's an open mic that we go to here at Astro, and I'm not sure if George was there or not, but there was this girl, crazy, crazy person. She added me on Facebook, and everything that she says is about how this woman is stalking her that's dating her ex-husband, and how she's pregnant, and she loses the baby. And repeatedly, by the way, she is repeatedly pregnant and losing the baby, and she's getting arrested. And this and that, and she's always talking about how supportive people are being when nobody's actually supporting her. They're just not turning her away.
Yeah.
So
they're enabling.
And we're sitting there at the open mic, and she's talking about how she wants to get into comedy and play music and do all these other things and wants to be part of all the scene and people and everything like that. And I was like, and she was like, oh yeah, well, this person is crazy. And I was like, is that person sitting next to me right now? That's a joke, right? And she should have been like, ah, ha, ha, no, I'm not crazy. But no, she's like, what? Oh, you think I'm crazy? So I'm crazy now? Is that what you're talking about? Like, I'm the crazy one.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't say you were crazy. I jokingly said you were crazy, and then you confirmed it for me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is she hot?
She was cute. I'll give her that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small
boobs, though. She was skinny. Yeah.
There's this hungry is what I call it. I'm like, she's so hungry.
She's hungry. She looks hungry.
There was this guy who, I'm not mentioning names, and they did comedy in Portland for a while, and he wasn't very well respected, but he gave me a lot of stage time before I was ready.
Yeah.
because I thought he was nice. And he was paying me like $50 for like 15-minute sets. Like, yeah. And I'm like a year in. I'm like, this guy's so nice. And then he freaked out on me and was like, so I've never dated a guy under 6 feet tall. Just out of – I just haven't. It just hasn't happened. Like, yeah. I'm not opposed to it. But I'd mentioned that one time, and this guy's a little guy.
Yeah.
And he freaked out on me because he told me he liked me. And I was like, I don't like you like that. You're a great friend, blah, blah, blah. So he freaks out in my car, though, and he's like, why don't you fucking like me? And his best friend, who I had made out with early in the night, and his other friend was in the car.
What?
And they're like, out of nowhere, just gets – he was blackout drunk. Why don't you like me? Is it because I'm not 6 feet tall?
Oh, and I was like, poor guy.
It's because you're doing this. You're shaking my car right now.
Because you're a crazy person.
Crazy. Aww. Yeah, so – he stopped me a little bit.
Did I mention that I am exactly 6 feet?
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I like younger boys.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Did I mention that I'm so annoyed that you're taller than me?
Yeah, we talked about that last night, didn't we?
Really? That came up?
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, we were standing outside, and Josh was like, yeah, Josh is a big comic, and then, like, bigger comic than George. And I was like, yeah, at least a foot. Yeah. And I'm a bigger comic than George, too, by about 2-3 inches. Yeah. First time we'd ever talked about height. But, yes, I am taller than you.
That's weird.
Never thought about it.
I was just so talking to Josh about how...
I'm sorry. Like, in our social status, should I be shorter than you?
That's what I was just going to ask. Like, why does he feel like you should be smaller than...
So.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'8".
Oh, that's average height for a guy. My mom was 5'10 and a half.
Yeah.
My dad's 5'5", maybe. My brother was 6'3 by the time he was 12. So he would like pick my dad up.
Yeah.
And my dad would like scream, put me down. But I didn't get any of that height. And Josh and I were standing at the store yesterday, and not very often do I stand that close to you. And I look up and like, it reminded me, one of the guys at the open mic was like, have you always been this short?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of question is that? Yes, I have always been this short. Now I have this weird disease, like I'm shrinking. So yeah, I'm kind of short. I'm 5'2".
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Are you getting shorter?
I might be.
They say we shrink when our the discs in our back contract, and that what makes us shorter when we get older or something. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be nice to be a little bit short.
I'm okay with being short. I fit places to nap. Like, I can go camping in the back of a Volkswagen Rabbit.
I'm fine
with that.
Yeah.
Like, I can sleep on any hotel bed. My feet don't fall off the... I can sleep sideways on a king bed and still have room. Like, it's fine. Being short is
sideways
great.
On a king... You know a king bed is square, right?
Is it square?
Yeah.
Well, I can...
Do you mean like a queen bed?
So I'm pretty and I'm funny.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I know that I can sleep anyway in a circle on a queen or a king bed and I don't fall off the sides.
Yeah.
So anyway, can we move on? What's the game we were going to play?
Oh, all right. So the game that we play, George, you can give an example to this. The game that we play is Safe Word. This is something that we played first with Doug and Teresa Wyckoff.
Okay.
And the way that the game goes is I was writing a bit and I asked them to help me out on it. And the bit was that the safe word, like during crazy sex,
yeah.
It has to be a word that you can't use regularly in sex.
Yeah.
And like the most stereotypical safe words are banana, which I can't use as a safe word because I say that all the time during sex. And the other one is Nebraska. Again, I use that word all the time during sex.
That's weird.
And then the way we play this game is that you get time to think by saying, I can't say banana. My safe word can't be banana because I say it all the time during sex. I can't say Nebraska because I say that all the time during sex. I can't use blank as my safe word because... So the idea is to come up with the craziest, random, dirtiest, whatever that you can't use during sex as a safe word.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, I'll start out easy. Okay. Give you an idea. I can't use banana as a safe word because I say that all the time during sex. I can't use Nebraska as a safe word because I use that all the time during sex. I also can't use bloody rabbit's foot as a safe word because I say that all the time during sex.
Do I have to repeat yours?
No.
Okay.
But in fact, you don't even have to repeat the first two, but you can if you need some time to think about what you're going to do.
I can't say the word Toyota Prius during sex because I use that word all the time during sex.
Yeah. Josh, you got one?
I cannot use the word blender.
That's a good one.
I cannot use the word cancer wig.
Oh, God. I can't use
It's my turn. Hey, don't get ahead of me. It's my turn. Again, you got a one-up. So let's see. I can't use banana as a safe word. I cannot use Nebraska as a safe word. I cannot use five-year-old leukemia patient as a safe word.
I can't use the word trachol during sex because I use that all the time during sex.
I cannot use the word daffodil during sex.
I cannot use the word phonograph during sex.
Come on, George. You can do better than that.
That set up a creepy, like, mom, like, House on the Hill scene for me. Okay, go ahead.
Come on.
I cannot... Fuck, I don't know. That was my one. You go. Give me next time.
All right. I cannot say banana during sex, or I cannot use banana as a safe word. I cannot use Nebraska as a safe word. I cannot use again with my grandma's panties as a safe word.
I cannot use artificial limb as a safe word because I use that all the time during sex.
I cannot use the word defibrillator as my safe word during sex.
I cannot use the word duct tape and razor blades during sex.
Trash.
Because I always use it during sex.
Okay. All right. So this is our qualifying round right here.
Okay.
So we're going to vote. So our producer here, Cooper, is going to decide which one. So this is the one where you want to be the absolute dirtiest, funniest, whatever you can come up with. All right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. We're going to take a second. I will take my time. I will come up with something hopefully absolutely delicious. I cannot use banana as a safe word during sex because I say that all the time. I cannot use Nebraska as a safe word because I use that word all the time. I cannot use... this is so difficult. I can't use dead pig fetus in a jar as a safe word because I say that all the time during sex.
I cannot use the term mom's cremains during sex because I use that term during sex all the time. I thought it was supposed to be dark. I don't know.
I cannot use the word, fuck.
I can't say rectal prolapse during sex.
Fair enough.
All right, Josh, back to you. Come on. All right. Your last one.
I cannot use the word mimeograph machine during sex.
All right. What did you think?
Mom's cremains was good because I don't know what cremains are.
That's the ashes of a cremated person.
Just my imagination went wild with that.
Yeah, the first thing I thought was remains, like cremation remains.
Yeah, they're called cremains.
But then I also thought of whatever that, you know how you get like those eye boogers?
Oh, gross.
The same thing, but downstairs.
That's so smegma. Gross.
And if that's what it was, that would have been the best one.
That's what it was, yeah. Then. That's
my
really
mom's
gross.
Vagina boogers. My
mom's vagina. I was going to say uncircumcised penis, but I didn't.
Because you yell that all the time, yeah. During sex. Yeah. So I think. we've come up on our hour. So this has been fun. Yeah, this is a good time.
Yeah, it has been very fun.
So yeah, let's plug. Plug. Amanda!
I will be at the slide in. I'm going to cough. I will be at the slide in on 28th in Ankeny in Portland, Oregon on the 28th. And then I will be in Dallas, Oregon on the 31st. Of this month.
I don't know if I'll post this by then.
That's fine. I will also be at Harvey's in May by the time you post this.
Yeah, there you go.
I believe it's May 5th, the week of that, I'll be at Harvey's.
If they want all these times and dates they can go to?
Amanda Arnold on Facebook or comedian Amanda Arnold, page of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Josh.
I will be at Mama Son's off 125th and Division in Portland, Oregon on February 7th doing a show for a friend's birthday party. What else am I? Huh?
Who is that?
Jamie Stewart.
Oh, okay.
He's having a. He's
You weren't invited.
I was invited.
No, it's he's a local karaoke guy. He does other stuff too. He has a podcast, the Emotional Weather Report, which I'm on that occasionally.
Oh, and you can find me on Thursdays on Anarchy Radio, houseofsound.org. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
And got something else. I got a charity show I'm putting together soon. So,
is there a website?
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah. Check out my Facebook page at Comedian Josh Lay or facebook.com/Comedian Josh Lay.
George, you got any plugs?
I'm at KO's Comedy Lounge every Thursday and Summit Saloon every Friday in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah, there you go.
Facebook George Ingles.
All right. And, of course, I myself, at Ryan Trauber, facebook.com/Ryan Trauber, or Bend Comedy, bendcomedy.com. You can find all of those and everything there. Thank you very much for you guys doing this.
You're
been fun.
Very thank welcome.
You. We went really dark, but hilarious.
It got a little dark.
Yeah, I know, right?
Lots of sex and death.
I didn't even get to talk about the porn store. The creepy crap there.
He'll have to have us back.
Yeah.
He has a fear of falling on the floor at the porn store. Like, that if he dies, he just thinks somebody should shoot him.
I was like, how much would I have to pay you to do one push-up in the porn store?
Like, in the booth or just, like, the hallways leading to the booth? Because both of those are very nasty, but...
Yeah.
Your hands have to be in the booth and your feet are in the hallway.
Ooh.
You'd do it for $100.
No. It's going to have to be at least six figures before I would even consider it.
Now, if we had hand sanitizer and a change of clothes ready for you and a $100 bill?
No. Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
Would you do it for $100, Ryan?
I mean, to do a push-up, the only thing that's really touching the floor would be your hands and maybe your chest if you're doing down-up one. I think I'd do that for $100.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
Yeah. There would have to be a change of clothes and hand sanitizer ready.
Stat.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Since I work there, like, I've seen so much crap in those booths and, like, stuff that goes on. Like, I'm just even getting near the door to, like, get in push-up position, all those memories and thoughts would just flood my head, and I'd probably just puke.
He found a dead guy in the booth, too.
What?
I'm sorry, you were trying to finish up the show, but...
No, this is a good story. Let's hear
this. He found a dead guy in the booth. Tell him about that.
It's actually me and Christine Levine, another fellow comedian and porn
Should be here next week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It was December 20th. It was like 5 days right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Christine was actually not in the store when when I found him. She was indisposed of at the time. I'm at the store. Customer comes in. I remember where I sold him. I sold him two little bottles of Rush and a pillow of lube.
Rush is an inhalant, I guess, they inhale when they're jerking off.
Okay.
I had to ask.
Is that poppers?
Yeah, it's just a popper, a VCR head cleaner.
Does your friend know what that is?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, George knows.
And he goes back in the arcade section, you know, I'm not thinking anything of it. An hour or something goes by, this guy comes up, another customer comes up and is like, I think there's the guy in booth whatever is having some issues. And like that usually, like, what the hell does that mean? Yeah. You know?
I was like, well, did you offer him an extra hand?
Yeah,
I mean, that's all he needs.
And I just totally bypassed, like, well, how do you know he's in trouble? Like, are you in there with him? Or, like, you trying to get into his booth with him? Or, like, what's going on? I go back there. I knock on the door. There's no answer. Pound on the door with a flashlight. Again, no answer. I holler out at him. No answer. I don't have my keys because I don't have the keys to get in there because Christine had them. She was at the store. She had to go do something.
And so he's in. That you're not saying what Christine was doing. Go ahead.
And so, like, dude's finally, Christine arrives. We get the keys, and like he's dead.
He's been marinating a while.
Dead. Yeah, there's like no pulse, no nothing. And like,
did you check for the pulse? Did you touch him?
Christine did handle the checking because she said she did nursing at some point or was like a caretaker.
Yeah.
So you know, she probably knows where the little carotid artery and all that stuff is better than I could. And so she's checking him out. And yeah, he's dead. And like, we feel bad because it's close to Christmas, you know. Like his car's there, so
he's got a wedding ring on.
Yeah, oh. He's got a wedding ring on, and like
he had $35 in his wallet.
Yeah, he had $35 in cash. He has $35 cash in his wallet, and Christine divides it up. So I got half of the 35. Oh, she got the other half of the. Well, he's dead, you know. Like Christine Levine says, it's a finder's fee. Asshole died in a booth. Yeah. We had to take care of it.
Yeah,
we deserve something for our troubles.
Cleaner's fee. Yeah.
His wife calls up. My husband had $35 in his wallet when he showed
up. Yeah. Was that? That would be funny if his wife did do that. Like, is that his like spanking allowance? Here's your allowance for the week, honey. Go.
I know for a fact he was only there long enough to spend $5, and I gave him $40 when he left.
Did he at least finish before he killed over?
Everybody asked that.
Well, just checking by the status of the floor, I'd say no.
Oh, it looked, that's too bad.
The room looks sterile and clean.
But see, this is one of the few times in which at somebody's funeral, the preacher could actually say he died doing what he loved.
Right.
So right. Yeah.
But one of the things I never figured out though was like we only found one empty bottle of Rush in the room, so yeah. Somebody had to be in there with him because we didn't find it on his person. He didn't have it in a bag or anything.
Because he got
else.
Two.
Yeah, he bought two. Never, and there was no. We checked the garbage cans up and down the hall, and never there was no bottle.
So do you think he was murdered? Honestly,
I don't think he was murdered. He had a heart. Something happened to his heart to where that's what killed him. But no. Like I always wondered who's the other person in there with him that had the other bottle, and like he had, and the door was locked, so he didn't die right away. Whoever he's with or whatever, they left. He locks the door behind them, and then croaks. Always found that weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I have never found anybody dead at work.
Yeah.
I had a guy fall down in a booth, fall down, and he's fat. And he was pinned up against the door, the monitor. Like, we had the monitors here, and we had the cemented chair, right? Mm. He was so fat, and he fell. And he was stuck, wedged in between the video monitor wall and the cemented chair. And, like, he's like, help! He's face down, too. He's face down. He's face down on the porn store floor. His face is touching the damn floor inside this booth. I'm losing my shit because I'm trying not to laugh at him because he's, you know, he's fell down in the booth and my worst nightmare come true, you know. And like he's like, help me. I'm like, what do you want me to do, man? There's like, he's like, pull my arms, and he has his arms at his side like this. I'm like, dude, if I pull you up by your arms, I'm gonna break your elbows. This isn't happening, you know.
So did you have
and like I'm worried one? About, you know, it is. I see his pants are pulled up, but I don't know if he has, you know, Mr. Yeah. Winky, if he's like laying down on Mr. Winky or what the hell's going on, because I don't want to touch him.
How'd you get him out?
Eventually, like, he calmed down. He relaxed enough to where, like, he could pull himself out, wedge himself out, or get out of the wedge that he was in. But, like, the entire time, I'm just thinking, like, I'm trying not to laugh, because, you know, he's obviously distressed, yeah. You know. I'm like, see, but I'm trying not to laugh. And then he's like, I need you to help pull me up. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't really want to help him off the floor, because what if he's got his piece out?
You don't you don't want to touch his hands.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to touch his hands.
I work at a veterinary clinic, and I find myself saying things at work that I never thought I would say. Like, I had to look at this really hot guy that brought his dog in the other day that had a UTI, a girl dog. Mm-hmm. And the tech was like, you need to go back out there and ask if she's, you know, been excessively licking her vagina for like a couple weeks. And that might not sound that funny, but look somebody in the eyes and be like, so has she been excessively licking her vagina for the last 2 weeks? and deadpan, and I just stared at him, and he was like, are you going to laugh first, or am I? And I was like, I have to pay rent. I think you are. And then also, the dogs, they take lube for, like, this weird meat. It's tuna-flavored lube, and it says tuna-flavored lubricant on the bottle from the bottle, and that's all that it says. It says the name of the product, like, the brand name, and then tuna-flavored lubricant, and I had to sell that to him, and he was like, I feel like you've been messing with me the whole time I've been here. Like, why are you doing this to me? I was like, she has hairballs or something. I don't know. They wanted me to give this to you. That was awesome.
I feel like that would be something you would find at a porn shop at, like, a coastal Alaska city or something. Tuna flavored lube.
Eskimo flavored.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to buy that for somebody, and I don't know who yet. Like, that somebody's going to get that as a gift. Yeah, yeah. They have to.
Yeah. Of course.
Like, whoever my dirtiest friends are.
Yeah. You know, I want to buy a bottle of it just to sell on the register at work.
Right.
Tuna flavored.
See if somebody would actually buy it.
Yeah. Oh God, somebody would. Yeah. I mean, what is it? Rule 34? Like,
if
it exists, there's
internet,
porn of it.
There's a porn of
it. So, I mean, there's got to be somebody out there with a tuna fetish.
Ugh.
Gotta be.
Ugh.
All right. Well, so Amanda, we've done podcasts before.
Yes.
So the old episodes, before Comedy Northwest, I'm re-releasing. So that will be a bonus episode. So the bonus episode after this will be the one that we did with, Mike Wally. Yeah.
I feel like you're going to ask me to bid on something. You made it sound game showy. Like, so once we post this bonus episode, you can vote for 500 points or you can pass for this
or
episode.
Take yeah. What's in the box?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you're re-releasing.
Yeah.
Under
yeah.
So the Bend Comedy.
Yeah. Comedy Northwest.
Did you have to go for Bend Comedy for the brand name? Did the city have anything to say about that?
No. No. It all started a couple of years ago as just a Facebook page.
Oh.
It's Bend Comedy because there were a couple of comics that were doing like open mics and whatnot around town. So then that's what mainly took off. Like that's how we were most social was from this group page.
I'm filthy because every time I look at it, I want it to be Bend Over Comedy. Yes.
We have Tony and I have actually discussed doing our
I'm glad we're all on the same page on that you finished my sentence.
And yeah, so anytime we do some of our dirtier shows, we have Bent Comedy, which is where Tony, whenever he hosts a show at 7, he can be as dirty as he wants and vulgar because that's a dirty venue.
How does the crowd take that? Do they like it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Because of the venue, everybody there knows that.
And where's
that
at? Anyway.
It's downtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll go party there later tonight. Okay. It's a nightclub, that we can do comedy out every now and then. But yeah. So yeah, we wanted to do Bend Over Comedy.
Comedy, it has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the Summit tonight.
Yeah, I know. Very excited.
Shows at 8?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Every Friday at 8 at Summit.
Awesome.
So yeah. Anybody else? Anything? No? That'll be it. All right, stay tuned for the bonus episode, everybody. Thank you for listening to Comedy Northwest.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Bend Over Comedy.
Thank you for having us.